Y'all ready to go deep today? So let's pray. Father, we just thank you. I honor you for all that you've been doing this morning. God, even how you were moving, stirring, and speaking when you woke me up this morning, super early, and how, God, your presence has been moving since the time we entered this building. So we thank you, God, that your revelation that you've given to be shared is going to come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. We declare signs, wonders, and miracles being worked through us in partnership with you because of this word. We thank you, Father, for divine intervention that has occurred and will continue to occur because of our covenant with you. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Yeah, I felt some hot sauce on that one. You know how folks used to say when they would read the King James and they had the red letters and they would say, oh, this is the hot sauce. I'm telling you, when I prayed that prayer about divine intervention that has occurred, I felt something on that. Know that the supernatural has happened for you while you were in this space, while you were enjoying the presence of the Lord and shouting about his goodness and faithfulness. Angels was like, yes, I'm moving for you. I got this covered. You just enjoy Jesus. I got this for you. I'm telling you, for somebody, you're going to get home and something's going to be resolved that wasn't resolved when you left. I'm telling you, that's what I know, that's what I know. And I'm not trying to hype you up or anything like that, but I just recognize what God is doing, and I recognize the power of his presence. That I don't have to be presently addressing a situation for God to address the situation. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I woke up with this kind of experienced song in my spirit, and I'm not the kind of person that'll sing it, not that one anyway, because it's not in my grace key, but it's just one of them things that just says what a mighty God we serve. It says angels bow before him, heaven and earth do what? What a mighty God. I mean, I felt that in my spirit, and I wondered, oh, Sunday. I was like, whoa, wait a minute, where did that come from? I woke up, what a mighty God we... Come on, y'all. See? One more time, a little louder for the people online. Yeah, so for the people online and you wonder why I wasn't singing, that ain't my grace key. I did this. I added that old school clap. Because God is powerful. He's mighty. There's no one mightier than him. And he has invited us to be just like him. All right. Can I go deeper? Every time I speak, I leave this place and I be like, Jesus, I want to go deeper. Every single time, a friend of mine was like, Pastor Jamal, don't beat yourself up. You go deep every time I hear you. And I was like, but I want to go deeper. All right. So we're talking about wisdom, revelation, and insight. And specifically, I'm going to talk to you about the invitation of revelation. Revelation always extends an invitation to think, live, and operate at another level, in another dimension. and to be what God desires for you to be in terms of the expression he has called you to have in the earth, you have to step into this next dimension and level with God. Where the same type of foolishness does not impact you because you recognize it's a distraction. And you stay focused on your assignment unapologetically. You don't have to explain, justify, or convince anybody of anything as you're walking in your assignment. Because revelation brings transformation and elevation. When God releases revelation to us, it is not just for us to know something and to give us like more information, because God doesn't do that. He doesn't give information. He gives revelation. And when he gives the revelation, it's for the purpose of meeting us where we are, but to take us to a new place that he's always determined we would be. And then that revelation brings the transformation, because it would change us on the inside and then cause us to operate differently on the outside. This is how sometimes some people can go to church for 1,000 years. They've been sitting in church since Jesus was walking in the synagogue at 12 years old and not change, because they didn't allow themselves to receive revelation. This is how the Pharisees missed Jesus, because they were searching scriptures, but they didn't allow the Lord to give them revelation. And this is how some people can criticize you because you're walking in revelation. And they may say, it don't take all that, or it's not like that. And you'll get to two extremes. You'll get some people that will say you're trying to be holier than thou because you're walking in discipline. Then you get some people that will say, you know, you're just a little too religious. But you understand you're not religious. Say, I'm not religious. I'm free from the spirit of religion. All that foolishness they told me about God that had nothing to do with God, but where the traditions of men are broken. I mean, and if you're still dealing with some residue, I just declare freedom over you right now in the name of Jesus. Because sometimes people would teach their traditions, their perspectives, like it's revelation when it ain't. And then sometimes people would think you're too extreme because you believe and operate in the power of God, because they haven't seen it or done it. The Bible is a supernatural book. It was written supernaturally. Just because I went to Amazon and ordered it and it was published by Zondervan or whoever doesn't mean it's not supernatural. All they did was get a translation from the dude who heard it from the Lord and wrote it down. So revelation causes us to operate more in the likeness of God. The revelation empowers us to transform our surroundings and make it reflect heaven. Because we say, on earth as it is where? And I was listening to Bill Winston the other day, who I fondly call Uncle Bill. And he had been teaching using this same foundational scripture for over a year. I'm like, Jesus, can't you imagine every week hearing an apostle of myself start with the same foundation scripture for over a year? I'm like, Lord. But it was something about when he read it this last time, when I was listening to him last week, and he talked about planting the heavens. He said, you know what, I'm going to find that passage. He said, hold on. This is what Google is for. It's in the King James Version, if y'all are looking for it back there for me. Hallelujah. Wait. Okay, there we go. Google can search now. Isaiah 51:16. I was almost there. I was a couple chapters away. Isaiah 51:16. He says, I have put my words in your mouth. I have put my words in your mouth. Now, where is the word of God now? It is in our mouths. But who put them there? God. So in order for the word to be put in our mouth, he plants it in our spirit and he reveals something to us to put in our mouth. Now, sometimes his words are put in our mouth prophetically because they just come, they just flow right through. But he said, I have put my words in your mouth and have covered you with the shadow of my hand to establish the heavens, to found the earth, and to say to Zion, you are my people. Now, the King James of that says to plant the heavens. So his words are placed in our mouth, and when we speak and release, that word is a seed that doesn't return to God void. It prospers, it accomplishes his desire, and it plants the heavens. So when you are sent into your sphere of influence, I want to go deep, but I want you guys to be able to say, man, see how this applies to you tomorrow. The words and the revelation that God has given you, when you release it, it has the capacity to transform that place to reflect heaven. It not only has the capacity to reflect heaven, it has the capacity to make that place be an extension of heaven. Because he said, plant the heavens. He didn't say reflect. He said plant. When you plant something, you put it in the ground, and the thing comes up from the seed. And the thing is the actual thing. It's not a reflection. It's the thing. So heaven can be enlarged when we release the revelation God has given us because we are planting the heaven. Say amen to that. And so God took me back to a prophetic word he gave me back in May that I released on a live stream. And he told me, in that prophetic word, it was very, very much like ringing true today. He said, there's a greater distinction between those who walk in revelation and the power of God and those who do not. So everybody's going to come with some level of skill set and intelligence, but God is sending you as a revelator. So on top of your skill set, because you have to be diligent to be skilled, on top of your intelligence that God has gifted you with, he's giving you revelation. And so you have to resist the urge to reduce your thinking and speaking to only skill set and intellect. Because sometimes, because the way our bodies are made, we can go into what's called muscle memory. We can be like, when this normally happens, I do this. Or this is how we normally solve it. Or this is how they do it. But you gotta resist that urge and allow God to speak and use you differently because you're in a time of revelation and you are designed to be a revelator. Look at somebody and say, I'm a revelator. Say it again, say, I'm a revelator. So then it says those who walk in revelation will experience and operate from greater realms of glory. Those who seek revelation will find it. Those who seek wisdom will obtain it. But those who do not seek will become dull. So in this greater distinction of revelation, we have to remember this. Let's look at Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Turn your Bibles, your devices, whatever you got. Google it. Hey, Siri it. ChatGPT it. From the King James, because this is going to say something very specific. Glory to God. It says, surely the Lord God would do nothing, say nothing. It says, God will do, what was that word? Nothing. Nothing. But he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So notice that word reveal has the ETH, which denotes the continuous action. So God is not going to do nothing without continuously revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. So we know that prophets are going to receive revelation, right? That's the importance of having prophets around and prophets that can speak to you with exactness and succinctness. But also, we know people with a prophetic gift are going to receive revelation, right? Because there's a difference between the office of the prophet and someone with a prophetic gift. Because everybody's not called to be a prophet. Because the whole body is not full of prophets. Even though the body of Christ likes to move on trends and what's popular, like everybody wants to be an apostle right now. And I'm like, do you want to drink that cup? Why are you playing? And so, but we know there's those that God has placed a prophetic gifting on the inside to fulfill purposes and destiny. So that means they're going to see and receive revelation on God's secret. But guess what? Everybody that has received Holy Spirit is a prophetic individual. So you don't have to wait to aspire to something. You just have to tap into something. So instead of aspiring, we need to tap in. Because Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, and according to Acts 2, that's when it happened. And it says, the young people will see visions, old would dream dreams. And it says, and they shall prophesy. So receiving Holy Spirit puts you in a position to receive revelation of the secret of God. So now you understand you're in a position, you're not disqualified, right? Right, you got that? So, because every believer now is positioned to hear the voice of God and to receive revelation of God and speak that revelation of God. See, the prophecy of Joel was actually the desire that Moses had in his heart and the desire of God that all God's people would be prophets. And then, because now we know that God is not going to do anything without revealing, which means the importance of revelation is to help us know and be in the timing of and cadence of God to know what he is doing in the moment and know what he's going to do in the future. See, psychics and witches do not know the future. They're just good at lying. The only ones who can tell the future are God's people when they incline their ears to hear him. And God does reveal the future. If you don't believe me, if you look at the Bible, then look at the news. You'd be like, man, them folks prophesied for real. Somebody prophetic was writing the script to iRobot, because I'm telling you, some of the stuff that was in that movie, we're seeing play out now with the development of artificial intelligence. And so look at Romans chapter 8, verse 18. We're going to look at this from the King James as well. So God is not going to do anything without revealing it to us. Everything God is doing, he's revealing to us. And I will say this, everything God has done in the realm of the spirit that is converging and invading time, God is revealing to us. That's how we get to know the future. Because when we spend time with the Lord, the things were done before the foundations of the world. He shows us a glimpse of what he's already done that has yet to invade space and time. See, certain things are not happening with time, like we say, oh, this happens with time. No, it's happening in time, because it already happened outside of time. It's just waiting to be released. So God can reveal what's coming, and what is, and what was, as we sit with him and receive revelation. Say revelation. And this is important for you, because as you go on your assignments, you're going to say some things that people may say sound weird because they've never heard it before, because you're speaking what was, what is coming, instead of what was. See, sometimes on our job, they speak what was. They speak the trends, what used to happen, or what's happening right now. But you are sitting and operating from a higher dimension, and so you are speaking what's about to happen. Y'all getting, y'all following me? And so in Romans 8, verse 18, it says this, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." See, a lot of times we go to this when we're going through some stuff. Well, it's not worthy. This, what I'm dealing with, can't be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in me. You know, the New American Standard says to me, but there's a difference. Here's what we're going to highlight. Glory is being revealed in you, say in me. Not just to you, say in me. Because there's a difference between glory being revealed to you and glory being revealed in you. When something is revealed to you, you have to pray into it. You have to study it out. You got to decree. You got to declare it. You have to meditate on it to get it on the inside of you. And then once it's a part of you, it can bear forth fruit. When it's revealed in you, it's already there. You don't have to pray into it. You don't have to decree and declare it. You don't have to meditate on it. It's in there and it's just going to come out. See, God bypasses that entire process when something is revealed in you versus to you. Y'all follow me? It said, verse 19 says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature," or creation, "waiteth." So there's an earnest expectation of creation that's in a perpetual state of waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That word manifestation refers to revelation. One of the things that we have to recognize in this season, not only is God giving revelation to us, he's revealing us to others as the carriers of that revelation. So where you may have thought you could be okay in the background, sorry, nope, not gonna work. There was a song in the 90, in the late 90s, "Not gonna be able to do it." You're not gonna be able to do it. Because the revelation is going to reveal something. It's going to reveal God. It's going to reveal his wisdom. It's going to reveal you as a dispenser of his wisdom. And know that this dispensing is not for one particular area. Because I found myself repenting last week. And I didn't even know I need to repent of anything. You know how sometimes you just Holy Spirit move on you and you just repent. And before then, you ain't think you need to repent in that area. You thought you were cool. Then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Jesus, I repent. I mean, just all of a sudden. My sister-in-law used to do that. She'd get up every morning and be like, Jesus, I repent. Be like, you ain't doing nothing. You just yawned. I mean, like, you trying to tell Jesus your breath stank or something? I'm like, what? So the other week, I was actually cutting through here and going to my office. And I just felt the presence of God just like a swoosh. If you can understand what a swoosh is, like a swoosh. And I was like, Father, I repent for trying to reduce what you have given me to fit people, places, and things. And in my mind, I didn't think I was doing that. But after I repented, I realized, man, the revelation that God has given me, I kind of reduced it to try to make it more acceptable to the people he called me to speak to. And I was like, I didn't realize that I was doing that. So I made the change. So know that as God has given you revelation, don't reduce it to make it bite-sized or edible for those he told you to give it to. Use his wisdom on how to deliver it, but you got to deliver the whole pie. I'm just saying. You can't give them something that's not fully cooked. You get what I'm saying? Because you're trying to give it to them in a way they can receive. Hope they understand it. Hope they don't think you're crazy. Hope they don't call you a spiritist or whatever, because you're starting to prophesy too accurately. As if psychics can prophesy accurately. I don't know where we got that from. So, don't reduce. It says, the earnest expectation of creation is perpetually waiting. There are people in this state of waiting, Thomas. There are people and places that are waiting for you, Jennifer, for the revealing of the sons of God. And that's you. That word sons is not talking about gender and dudes. It's talking about positioning. Because the son is at the right hand of the who? Father. And we are seated with Christ in those heavenly places at the right hand with Jesus, who's at the right hand of the Father. So we operate from a place of being in the right hand or seated at the right hand of the Father. You connect those dots, right? Jesus didn't go there without us. Let me say this. So we know Jesus ascended, right? It says he's seated at the right hand of God. We are in Christ. So that means spiritually, where are we? In Christ. Seated at the right hand of God. When we operate from the realm of the Spirit, we operate from being seated at the right hand of God. Being in God. We can't run from God. We can't escape him because we're always in him. Because it's in him we live, move, and have our existence. Sometimes we do fleshly things, but we're still in God when we did it. And if those fleshly things were not in alignment with his will, that's why your heart will start racing real fast when you start doing it. And you're like, that's a Holy Spirit check that you shouldn't ignore. So it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. There is something and someone waiting on you to be revealed because you have revelation that needs to be released. But you can't hold it, because check this out. Let's back up to verse 14, and still in Romans 8, verse 14. Y'all getting this? Yell something for the people online. So they don't think I'm sitting here doing a live stream by myself. Like, oh, he got a different background. Romans 8 and 14 says this, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So now we see creation is in this perpetual place of waiting for our revealing as sons of God, because we are carrying revelation. We're carrying power. We are releasing the identity of God, extending and planting heavens. And we see that we are led by the Spirit of God. So people are waiting on your Spirit-led response, your Spirit-led actions. There are certain things that will not be transformed until you get there because of your Spirit-led response, actions, and words. Certain places in government cannot be fixed until a believer gets there with Spirit-led actions and words and responses. Certain businesses can't be fixed. Certain school systems can't be fixed until the believer comes with their Spirit-led actions and responses. This is, see, the leading of Holy Spirit is by revelation. When he leads us to do a thing, he is revealing to us the thing that needs to be done. When he leads us to say a thing, he is putting the words in our mouths to plant the heavens. This is why an unbeliever can't fix certain problems, even though they might be trying. They may have the good intention, and they might be trying to figure it out and rack their brain, but they don't have the capacity, because the natural person cannot comprehend the things of God. That's why God sends you, because he cares for them. He cares for the lost. He cares for the unbeliever. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So he sends you with revelation. And when we get in worship and be like, here I am, Lord, send me. And then he sends you. You're like, what in the world, Lord? Why'd you send me? What did I get myself into? Let me tell you why you're there. Oh, wait a minute. I thought I had 12 more minutes, but I guess I don't. All right, 30 seconds. I'm going to read the scripture and tell you why you're there. And then we'll have to continue this later. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. I'm going to read this one from the King James. We've been in King James all morning today. It says, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now, again, that committeth is an ETH, a continuous action. He ain't talking about those who messed up. You made a mistake, you messed up. You not of the devil. So don't let somebody try to tell you something different and have you on the altar and spitting and all of that for 20 minutes talking about, demon need to come out, demon need to come out, demon come out, demon come out. Yeah, sometimes we I love church folks. Sometimes we do the funniest stuff that make no sense. You're like, I know God has to have a sense of humor, and I know he laughs at some of the stuff we doing. Somebody make a mistake one time and you want to cast, talking about, I'm going to cast 1,000 demons out. How you know 1,000 is in there? Did the Lord reveal that to you? Because if he did, he would have told you there's nothing to cast out. There just needs to be a change of perspective, a renewing of the mind. There's a difference between having demon oppression, demon possession, and just the renewal of the mind or something in the soul. There's a difference. And everything can be lumped into, I'm going to get this oil and cast a demon. We need revelation to know how to deal and what to do in the moment. Because some people been scarred because somebody was told they had a demon and they didn't. And some people need a demon cast out but didn't. Just saying. Be like, wait, you the one. So I'm going to read this so we can end for the day and we can honor our new members. It said, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, say purpose. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. You are the sons of God. That creation is groaning and it has an earnest expectation for. It's not just waiting. The people in places are not just waiting. They're waiting with expectation. And the expectation of you being revealed is to do your part of walking out the assignment of Jesus. Because he said the Son of God. We are the sons of God. Some stuff he did we can't and don't need to do. But it says to destroy the works of the devil. So in your assigned sphere where God has sent you, you are made manifest or you are being revealed and God is pouring revelation in you till you can't contain it no more. It's like this comedian who was laughing at his own joke and he was like, I can't take no more. I can't take no more. And he just kept laughing. Where you're going to be like that, I can't take no more, because there's going to be so much revelation poured out in you and on you that you can't take no more so that you can destroy the works of the devil. Do you receive that? Right there, that would have been a good place to clap, shout, and be like, yes, I'm going to destroy the works of the devil. That would have been a good place to clap your hands and do something. Hallelujah. So I'm going to stop there and we'll finish later. But know that this invitation of revelation has been given to you to destroy the works of the devil. So some things that people are praying to see changed will only happen when you arrive, because you're the change agent. Say, I'm a change agent. Say it again. You're a change agent and you're a revelator. You're going to speak and do things that nobody else can do because God is with you. God is in you. God is on you. God is with you. God is in you and God is on you. God is with you. God is in you and God is on you. Hallelujah. Glory to God.